Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They have sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that is never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him, grow up in Him, and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing on the purging of sin and iniquity. The psalmist said in Psalms 79 and verse 9. This is in the Psalms, chapter 79, I'm reading verse 9. "Help us, O God, of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us, and purge away our sins, for thy name's sake." Sin is a fruit of the flesh, not a fruit of the spirit. It does not just pop out one day when you're not watching. Good fruit and bad fruit needs time to grow. When God made all things, He made the weeds grow quicker, so that you could recognize what was bad by their thorns and thistles too, and remove them at the root. The same is true about the bad fruit in your life. David said in the Psalms 51, verses 1 and 2. This is in the Psalms, chapter 51, I'm reading verse 1. "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone in to Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." Verse 2. "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." The word "wash" in Strong's is number 3526, a primitive root to trample, hence to wash properly by stamping with the feet, whether literally, including the fulling process, or figuratively, fuller washing. The word "cleanse" in Strong's is number 2891, a primitive root, properly to be bright, that is, by implication, to be pure, physically, sound, clear, unadulterated, Levitically uncontaminated, morally innocent or holy, and to be made self-pronounced, clean, cleansed, purged, purified. Now Webster said, in 1828, "Iniquity is a particular deviation from rectitude, a sin or a crime, wickedness, or any act of injustice." In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Psalm 51, verse 3 says, "Wash me thoroughly and repeatedly from my iniquity and guilt, and cleanse me and make me wholly pure from my sin." David asked to be cleansed from his sin, but also to be washed thoroughly from his own iniquity with a stamping of the feet. The wickedness in David had been growing for a while and needed removing. It made him blind to the truth. To remove lies in his heart, he needed godly wisdom as well. David continued in the Psalms 51, verses 3 to 12. I'm reading in the Psalms, chapter 51, starting in verse 3. "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." Verse 4. "Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." Verse 5. "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Verse 6. "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." Verse 7. "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." verse 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Verse 9. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Verse 11. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. The word purge in Strong's is number 2598, a primitive root, properly to miss, hence, figuratively or generally, to sin. By inference, to forfeit, lack, or repent, or lead astray, condemn, or bear the blame, cleanse, or commit sin by fault, harm, that you might miss or make offense. David stopped listening to the truth, lost the joy of the Lord, and his heart needed resetting after committing a terrible sin. He saw himself as lost without having a heart after God, pursuing other things that were only temporal. Paul said in Acts chapter 13, verses 21 and 22. This is in the book of Acts, chapter 13, I'm reading verse 21. And afterwards they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. Verse 22, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Acts 13:22 says, and when he had deposed him, he raised up David to be their king. Of him he bore witness and said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will and carry out my program fully. David was used because he had a heart after God. God gives special talents for a particular purpose, like a photographic memory, tenacity, stubbornness, or a head for heights. Those extra talents will only function as God designed them to function, with Jesus in control. He knows where to use talents for good and not for evil or monetary gain. In this world, people are often selected based on gifting. However, God calls those who are weak, unless the wise have been humbled to a breaking first. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 25 and 26. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm reading verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God releases his power through you so that you can bear the fruit of the Spirit in all situations and bring glory to him. You get authority and power by abiding in Christ and doing nothing for yourself without him. This appears foolish to those living in this world. Jesus said in John 15, verses 2 to 5. This is in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, I'm reading verse 2. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. The word purged in Strong's is number 2508. It comes from another word which means to cleanse. That is specifically to prune. Figuratively, to expiate or purge. Those who do not bear the fruit are removed from the vine. Those who do have some fruit need a purging like David. You may have faith in God, but also unbelief or a faith in yourself that needs to be purged out. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8, I'm reading verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. The same resurrection power that raised Christ will energize your body as you abide in Christ. Do not be tempted to do something with your own reasoning, but believe in his power instead. Let the Holy Spirit dwell freely to make the right response to life's challenges. Do not let your own feelings and emotions take control by denying yourself. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm reading verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You were given the Holy Spirit to know those things that came in the package of salvation, to live a life of faith, without ever leaning to your own understanding. We read in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verses 1 to 3. I'm reading 2 Chronicles chapter 34, starting in verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. Verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Verse 3, for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after God of David his father. And in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. The academic system of learning needs to be purged from the church. Bible schools are high places providing the knowledge of good and evil without the fear of the Lord, trusting God, truth and conviction. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. This is Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 12. I would that they were cut off which trouble you. Verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. Those without the experience of serving in a challenging situation are not ready to lead. Those who have learned methods systematically reject the proven wisdom gained by others serving with God's power. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 to 21. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21. If a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Those who trust in God and rely on conviction and repentance from dead works for personal revelation grow spiritually. They discover the lies that justify serving two masters at the root of their own unbelief. Sin and iniquity will manifest later if you ignore conviction. Churches using the world system to study the written word are ignorant. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 40, I'm reading the book of Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know, assuredly, that God hath made that same Christ, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter, and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39, "For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Verse 40, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation." 3,000 morally educated and sincere Jews studying the law with their minds were convicted of following a leadership that the devil used to kill the Messiah ignorantly. Those who received the message gladly accepted personal responsibility for resisting the truth and repented of blind hearts and minds. Peter told them to save themselves from an untoward generation serving Jewish traditions. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 30 to 34. This is in John's Gospel, chapter 8, I'm reading verse 30. "And he spake these words, and many believed on him." Verse 31. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." Verse 32. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Verse 33. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin." Those believing lies serve sin. Doubt and unbelief will increase in your life over a period of time by leaning to your own understanding. Christ came to set you free, but you will have to personally reject the lies you chose to believe for the sake of your flesh. God uses an alarm to help you realize truth has come. This alarm is conviction. And those with a confidence in the flesh do not have ears to hear. You need to see conviction as a blessing to continue in his rightly revealed word. Jesus said to the disciples in John chapter 16 and verse 13. This is John's Gospel, chapter 16, and reading verse 13. "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come." In the book Light, in chapter 9, on hindrances to faith, on pages 72 and 73, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "If you want to eliminate unbelief from your life, you need to deal with it at the root level. The root of unbelief is always a lie that you believe to be the truth. For example, the devil will deceive you with lies that appear to be right, and even include some truth to cause you to believe that they are the absolute truth. As soon as you believe one of his lies to be true, you release your faith into it. This produces unbelief, which in turn hinders your faith from flowing into the truth. When the Lord tells you something that is the opposite of what you already believe to be true, you can't release your faith into the truth, because your faith is already released into the lie you believe. In fact, you may not be able to tell what the truth really is. You need the witness of the Spirit to reveal the truth." See chapter 21. When God shows you a lie you believe to be the truth, simply repent for believing the lie. Let your faith return unto you, and then release your faith into the truth that has been revealed to you by the Spirit. The power of God will flow through you as you believe the truth, and you'll be set free from the lie. Do not be tempted to use your mind to come to the truth. This is rejecting what God has provided. Go slowly and rely on the Holy Spirit. A decision does not need to be made before its time. If you are born again, rely on the work of the Holy Spirit to lead you step by step. We read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 28 and verse 10. This is in the book of Isaiah 28, I'm reading verse 10. "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little." In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 3, Spiritual Maturity, in chapter 8, on the washing of the water of the word, on page 78, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "The Holy Spirit does not teach you everything you need to know at one time. He works on current issues and the rest is covered by grace. You are only required to learn or repent of what he says at the moment. Do not help him by trying to move where he is not leading. He knows what you need to learn and when you need to learn it. Conviction is a blessing, as it identifies what to work on now. Timing is important with God. There is grace for everything else while you are continuing in his word. There will be more conviction later if you are his workmanship in Christ Jesus. Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 24. This is in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. I'm reading verse 22. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and shall have them. The word doubt in Strong's is number 1252. It comes from, in other words, which means to separate thoroughly, that is, literally or reflectively, to withdraw from, or by implication oppose, figuratively to discriminate, by implication to decide, or reflexively hesitate, contend, or make a difference, or discern, or doubt, or judge, or be partial, or stagger, or waver. In the book Light, in chapter 9, on hindrances to faith, on pages 73 to 74, Joseph Hitchcock writes, doubt is another major hindrance to faith. The key to releasing your faith is, you shall not doubt. Jesus said in this passage that whatever you ask will be done. And the only condition he gave is that you not doubt in your heart. Heart means the heart, i.e. figuratively the thoughts or feelings, the mind, also by analysis the middle, the broken-hearted. This definition includes your thoughts and feelings. If you refuse to doubt in your thoughts and feelings, but instead maintain your faith in God, what you ask of him will be done. It is likely that you have believed God for something that has never come to pass. That may have been because you doubted in your mind and your doubt hindered your faith. A mountain of doubt comes from a small seed of unbelief based on lies. This becomes a molehill after a while. A mountain of unbelief is found in broken-hearted lives, disappointed over earthly things they're holding on to but cannot keep. You should have laid everything at the foot of the cross and leave it there when you started following Christ. Some do this, and 5 minutes later, they're picking up the same things again that they laid down because their hearts need to be purged. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 11, I'm reading. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. Verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Paul told Timothy to flee the cares of the world. The biggest mountains are in those offended at God because he did not prevent something in his power that he allowed in his wisdom. They never come to repentance because they believe they're innocent pursuing the things in this world. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, verses 12 to 17. I'm reading 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Verse 14. That thou keepest this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15. Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Verse 16. Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honour and power everlasting. Amen. Verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Fight for your own life by denying self and obeying the Holy Spirit. Your flesh will betray you. Those with the confidence in the flesh or rich use their minds to make wrong decisions. Everything you need comes through God's communication system by the Spirit. Those who think eternal life is just living forever never lay hold of eternal life now. You have the forgiveness of sin so that you can come right back in his presence immediately when you come out and hear his voice. Jesus prayed for his disciples in John 17, verses 2 to 4. This is in John's Gospel, chapter 17. I'm reading verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth, and I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. Eternal life is the privilege that you can get to know and commune with God now. With the gift of eternal life, everyone can do the perfect will of God, ask God any question. Jesus completed the work that God gave him to do before the cross, through the Holy Spirit. He chose to become the Lamb of God himself. At the cross, he asked the Father, is there another way? But there was no other way. Before doing the greatest work of all, at the cross, he prayed for his disciples and for those who would believe on him based on the gospel records that those disciples wrote. Jesus said in John 17, verse 20 and 21. This is John's Gospel, chapter 17, and reading verse 20. Need I pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Verse 21. That they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. Thou also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The majority in the church believe that eternal life just means you'll live forever, but that's not the truth. Everyone has an eternal spirit that came from God and will end up in hell if they keep sinning. On the cross, the sin of humanity separated Jesus from God, and he went down into hell. It was not a personal sin Jesus committed that caused him to die, but it was your sin. Jesus trusted in God to raise him from the dead as the sacrificial lamb by faith. Eternal life is a free gift, so you can get to know God, trust God with your whole heart, and become a living sacrifice like Jesus. Jesus said in John 5, verse 39 and 40. This is John chapter 5. I'm reading verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Verse 40. And you will not come to me that you may have life. Many study the Bible aimlessly with their own natural mind, deceiving themselves and those who want to avoid any conviction or follow Christ. To start on the narrow way, humble yourself. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verses 2 to 4. This is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, starting in verse 2. And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them. Verse 3. And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as his little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Those who enter now and experience the kingdom of God by becoming like a little child will be ready. You learn to hear his voice and get to know him and feel completely secure following him. Jesus said in John 10, verses 27 and 28. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10, I read verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You will never perish using the gift of eternal life. He will answer all your questions directly by the Spirit. You are given the gift of eternal life now, so start using it now, rather than leaning to your own understanding. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 8, this is Proverbs chapter 3, I'm reading verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, and fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Verse 8, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Do not deceive yourself. You will not depart from evil without trusting God with all your heart. Stamp out all iniquity and stop building a molehill or mountain of unbelief. You regret making decisions with your own mind. Carnal Christians refuse to acknowledge God in all their ways. They see this as extreme because they do not want to submit to God. But only God knows the end from the beginning. Jesus was speaking in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 25. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. I'm reading verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Verse 25. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? Those trying to save their own lives need to be confronted. If you're not following Christ, you're following the devil. There is no third option. If you keep looking after your own earthly life, you'll lose everything. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm reading verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us, which are saved, it is the power of God. Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Jesus showed us the way. Christ proved at the cross that faith in God works. Even death has now lost its sting. The power of God is now available to all those who trust him with all their heart, and do not lean to an understanding. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 27. This is Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 3, Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 8, on the washing of the water of the word, pages 78 and 79, Joseph Hitchcock writes, spending quality time in the word with the Holy Spirit guiding you is essential for growing up spiritually. It exposes the sin that hinders you. The truth washes away the lies you have believed. The word reveals personal revelations from the Spirit for you. Of course, he also speaks to you directly. Do not read your Bible the same way you read other books. Your personal conclusions and opinions will be the very reason you cannot hear the truth, because they are based on worldly education and natural understanding. It is dangerous to read and study in a way that allows Satan to lead you astray with ways that seem right. The Holy Spirit alone is your teacher. It is crucial that you read and study at his direction. He quickens the truth to you specifically for where you are. He corrects you and exposes areas that need adjustment. He washes you with the word. He speaks the truth and exposes lies that hinder you. As you meditate on the truth, more revelation is made available. The water of the word washes out old lies. The new truth comes in and cleanses the area of your mind that was corrupted by the lie. As you stop believing the lie, your mind and spirit are renewed with truth. As more darkness is removed through repentance, more light and truth will come to you. The preaching of the cross is the washing of the water of the word needed again and again in the church for those seeking temporal things. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. This is Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 13. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. If you're born again, make every effort to get on the narrow way before you die or before Jesus comes, whichever comes first. Only the narrow way leads to life. Broad means spacious. This means there's plenty of space for everyone to walk in the way they like. This is very appealing to the carnal mind because it allows you to be the Lord of your own life without having to submit to God's authority and correction. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 7. This is Romans chapter 8, I'm reading verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Everyone born again by the Spirit now has a direct link to God, so that they can live and abide on the narrow way with Jesus, devil-free and alive to God. The devil is the enemy of your soul and gives you what you want so you become addicted to temporal things and die spiritually. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. This is Romans chapter 8, I'm reading verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. The devil is a murderer, a coward, and a ministering spirit, like a drug dealer, watching others suffer and being childish by giving them whatever they want. By listening to your own flesh, you have already been infected with lies and are listening to a wrong voice. God resists you because he loves you. God knows that the devil wants to accuse, control, deceive, and destroy you through the flesh. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 10 and 11. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10, starting in verse 10. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus was not even holding on to his own life for the sake of his sheep. This looks foolish in the natural, but God cannot deny himself or his word. We read in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. This is in the book of Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God will not deny those who follow the plans he has for their lives. You will only experience life to the full, following Jesus, using the gift of eternal life. You get all the resources you need in this life through being a servant in the kingdom of God. You outrank even the highest authority in this world, being a servant of God. This opportunity is open to all. It's not based on creed, culture, or anything in this world. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 21. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7 and verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now, by following his instructions by the Spirit, with fear and trembling, you can become part of the kingdom of heaven. It's not enough to be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. This is Galatians chapter 3, and I'm reading verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Verse 4. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? Examine yourselves to see if you are on the narrow way now. It is vain to believe that by saying an acceptable prayer to Jesus and receiving the Holy Spirit, you are still following Jesus today. The early church had suffered so much by confessing that Jesus is the Messiah and speaking openly about repentance from dead works. Your eternal hope is based on the chastening of the Holy Spirit and following Christ now. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verses 20 to 23. This is Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Verse 22. In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Colossians 1:23 says, and this he will do, provided that you continue to stay with and in the faith in Christ, well grounded and settled and steadfast, not shifting or moving away from the hope which rests on and is inspired by the glad tidings, the gospel, which you heard, and which has been preached as being designed for and offered without restrictions to every person under heaven, of which gospel I, Paul, became a minister. The good news is that everyone consistently hearing and obeying the Holy Spirit can now become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. God is no respecter of persons. Our hope is realized when we become more like Christ every day. Paul said in Acts chapter 17, verse 30 to 31. This is Acts chapter 17, I'm reading verse 30. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Verse 31. Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. The judgment at the end will be based on our Lord Jesus, that when tempted in the same situation, he did no works of his own. This includes the temptation to do any good works, not directed by the Spirit. If you want to repent of dead works, you have to stop using your mind and ask God everything. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 to 11. This is Galatians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 7. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Verse 8. This persuasion comes not of him that called you. Verse 9. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Verse 10. I have confidence in you that through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubles you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Verse 11. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. The lies troubling the church were a problem, but Paul was more concerned why those who had received the Holy Spirit were going back to Jewish traditions after relying on the Spirit. To remain in right standing with God, you have to be led and controlled by the Spirit. There is no grace and mercy for those not preaching the cross in the body of Christ. Paul's preaching was offensive and convicting to those with a confidence in the flesh. Paul told the Galatians to change their thinking and stop the leavening. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verses 54 to 56. This is John chapter 6, starting in verse 54. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinks my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Verse 55. For my flesh is meat, and indeed my blood is drink indeed. Verse 56. He that eateth my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me and I in him. The Galatians were consistently obeying the truth at the beginning and true conviction, making excellent progress using the blood of Jesus. They were eating and drinking what Jesus provided and following his example. This all stopped for the sake of their own flesh. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, that ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Verse 8. Therefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, purge, clean out the old leaven, that you may be fresh, new dough, still uncontaminated as you are, for Christ our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. You are supposed to purge yourself from anything that looks like a religion, making it easier on the flesh. If you're a living sacrifice, what others do or don't do should not make you angry inside or cause you to react in the flesh. A door for sin opens whenever you stop obeying the Holy Spirit. Remain like a little child. Resist clever arguments from others and rely on the Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth. Clever lies can be disguised as truth. David said in the Psalms chapter 16 verses 8 to 11. I'm reading in the book of Psalms chapter 16. I'm reading verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. Verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Verse 10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. When God was using David, he stayed close to God by keeping the sin out of his life, and the Lord was ever before him. He had no doubts that God would preserve him because he walked and talked with the Lord all the time. God was able to use David to judge the nations doing evil without taking matters into his own hands. He was always filled with the joy of the Lord. We read in 2 Samuel chapter 10, verses 6 and 7. This is 2 Samuel chapter 10, I'm reading verse 6. And when the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David, the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth-Rehob and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 footmen, and of King Makkah, 1,000 men, and of Ishtob, 12,000 men. Verse 7. And when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the hosts of the mighty men. David's sin started when he got angry with the Ammonites for the way that they treated his men previously. He responded in anger and had to send Joab, to fight them with the full force of all his mighty men, and stayed at home. He nearly did not have God's provision for this battle. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verses 17 to 21. This is in the book of Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but neither give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Verse 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. The renewing of your mind includes forgiving and not taking vengeance on your enemies. You will experience the pleasure David had on God's mission when you reach out to those trapped in sin. Be a living sacrifice for God and let him use you in his right hand. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 to 26. This is in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm reading verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance, the acknowledging of the truth. Verse 26. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in the introduction on page 5, Joseph Hedgecott writes, allow the Holy Spirit to examine your faith, to find out if it is contaminated or misdirected in any way. The devil is an expert at influencing God's children to misdirect their faith into ways that seem right. Once he's convinced you to release your faith into a lie, it is easy for him to hinder you from finding the truth or believing it when you do find it. When he succeeds in this endeavor, he has taken you captive. 2 Timothy 2:26, part B. When you hear a truth, you cannot believe it until you first quit believing the lie you already believe to be truth. Once you recognize the lie and choose to stop believing it, your faith returns to you and you can release it into the truth. This is how you rescue yourself from the snares of the devil. Stop trying to work out everything with your own mind and concentrate on repentance from dead works through conviction. Bad fruit will help you identify some dead works. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit. The removal of all lies is necessary for you to escape the snares of the evil one. The devil cannot sell you his lies unless you are seeking something through your flesh. James said in James chapter 1, verses 2 to 5. This is James chapter 1, starting in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. The trials and difficulties God allows will not cause you to desire something more. They are there to complete your faith, where it's lacking or missing. If you're following him, you will overcome. Be patient, and God will provide every time. David was listening to his own feelings and emotions before he sinned, and this separated him from God and his provision. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 to 32, this is in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. The word put away in Strong's is number 142, a primary verb to lift by implication to take up or away, figuratively to raise the voice or keep in suspense the mind, specifically to sail away, that is to weigh anchor. In the Hebrew, it means to expiate sin, away with, or bear up, or carry, or lift up, lose, or make to doubt, or put away, remove, or take away. David's anger and his own judgment separated him from the presence of God. Once you are born again and in the Spirit, it's not easy to believe lies. If the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you and creating the right emotions, the Holy Spirit is in you until you finish your mission, die, or until Jesus comes. The bad fruit in Ephesus that Paul mentioned identified the fact that the church had not repented of doing dead works. To put away means to weigh anchor, or to move out from a port, or make a clean break. This analogy should have helped the Christians living in a port city like Ephesus. Joseph Hedgecock, when teaching on overcoming lies, describes unbelief like an anchor. Noah Webster in 1820 defined an anchor as an iron instrument for holding a ship or other vessel at rest in water. It is a strong shank with a ring at one end, to which a cable may be fastened, and with two arms and flukes at the other end, forming a suitable angle with the shank to enter the ground. The anchor is a heavy object designed to stop you moving out of a port. In the same way, unbelief stops you from walking in the Spirit. The unbelief needs to be identified and removed by repentance. Start by getting in the Spirit and believe what God says. When you release your faith in the rightly revealed word, this will cause the unbelief to manifest. By causing these thoughts to manifest, it allows you to unhook yourself from these lies. The thoughts that appear in your mind contrary to God's word are the chains that the devil is using to keep you anchored in the flesh. Paul said in Galatians 5 and verse 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." The thoughts of the flesh and the Spirit oppose each other. Whatever opposes the Spirit is based on a lie that you still believe. It will be something in you that you have never dealt with before. You never saw this as wrong because it appealed to your reasoning. We read in Proverbs chapter 14, verses 12 and 13. This is Proverbs chapter 14. I'm reading verse 12. "There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Verse 13. "Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness." Acknowledge that you have been using your own mind because it's easier on your flesh. And be prepared to endure the chastening you need to grow up spiritually. Your sin might have started at the beginning when you decided it was not necessary to deny yourself completely or take up your cross daily. Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verses 17 to 21. This is in the book of Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 17. "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." Verse 18. "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know that from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons." Verse 19. "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews." Verse 20. "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly, and from house to house." Verse 21. "Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ." Learn from your mistakes if you are overcome with temptation, Ask God to show you what you should have done in the Spirit instead. You will get godly wisdom when you humble yourself and make no excuses of the bad fruit in your own life. You must confess and acknowledge that you rejected what He has provided at salvation for you to live on the narrow way. God does not explain everything beforehand. You must trust Him to make the right decisions. You have to obey first before you get understanding and refuse to go back to the flesh. You can get in the Spirit now because of what Jesus has done. John said in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. This is in 1 John chapter 1, I'm reading verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ephesus was a port city, competing with other trade routes to and from the Middle East. With Christianity spreading inland, the Church of Ephesus played a vital role at the entrance to this route. Paul the Apostle and John visited and rebuked the cults of Artemis, winning many Christian converts in the process. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is thought to have spent her last years in Ephesus with John. Her house and John's tomb can be visited there today. The city was ideally situated for the gospel, but there was a spiritual battle going on. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, I'm reading the book of Revelation, chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, These things say he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Verse 2, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. Verse 3, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Verse 4, nevertheless I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Rather than uphold the sanctity of its Christian faith, the Church of Ephesus had largely sold out to the political powers of the city. Rather than shine as a beacon of Christian faith, hope, and love, the Church of Ephesus eventually aligned itself with the powers of darkness and embraced the vile nature of corrupt politics, even though the city's importance was deteriorating. Jesus continued in Revelation chapter 2, verses 5 to 7. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 2, I'm reading verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Verse 6. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Sediments gradually filled the inlet of the Castor River, and repeatedly the harbour of Ephesus had to be moved downriver over the centuries. In the end, the city relied on its iconic places of worship to attract visitors to support its struggling economy. Ephesus was a port city with a deteriorating harbour, and there was only so much that could be done to keep it afloat economically. In the 6th and 7th centuries AD, a massive earthquake and the harbour's continuing decline left Ephesus a shell of the city it used to be. And Arab invasions forced most of the population of Ephesus to flee and start a new settlement. Ephesus continued to deteriorate, although it experienced a brief period of growth and construction under the rule of the Turks in the 14th century. Jude said in Jude chapter 1, verses 1 to 7, I'm reading. This is in the book of Jude chapter 1. I'm starting in verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Verse 2, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Verse 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. Verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth, for example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. The word contend in Strong's is number 1864. Comes from some other words which means to struggle for, or earnestly contend for. Jude did not want the new Jewish converts to experience the vengeance of eternal fire after they had heard the gospel and received the gift of the Holy Spirit. They had to contend for the faith by living on the narrow way, asking God everything. Paul said in Romans chapter 14, verses 16 to 19. This is in the book of Romans chapter 14 and verse 16. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Verse 18. For he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify one another. Joseph Hedgecott would say in his testimony, I can have more fun when everything is going wrong than most people can when everything is going right for them. The kingdom is not about food and drink or making better or smarter decisions than anyone else. It's about having peace and joy in any situation, regardless of your outward conditions. Others need to know you are not seeking anything temporal in this world, but doing what he says with a pure heart. Everything you have should have come from following Christ on the narrow way. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33 and 34. This is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, I'm reading verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The bad fruit manifesting in your life will alert you to the fact that you have stopped trusting God. You first have to get in the flesh and become Lord of your own life to sin. If you're born again, you can have your iniquity purged with the help of the Holy Spirit. Lies that you believe to be the truth will be exposed, and you have to repent deeply. We read in 1 Samuel 13, verses 13 and 14. This is 1 Samuel chapter 13, and I'm reading verse 13. And Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. Verse 14, But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. To be captain over Israel, Saul needed a heart to do God's perfect will in thought, purpose, and action. When David became king, God could use him in the beginning because he was humble. He began to serve under Saul, and God used him to purge other nations from Israel's borders. David was a living sacrifice. He never reacted and kept serving under Saul until he died, and David was proclaimed king of Israel through the prophet Samuel. We read in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. This is 2 Samuel chapter 11, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. Verse 2. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. God has given you authority and power in Christ for you to complete his calling on your life without ever getting in the flesh. David used his power as king to destroy the children of Ammon when he became angry. Normally, David had no doubts that God would win his battles as God's instrument on God's mission. He also had compassion for God's enemies that they would come to repentance. We read in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 to 9. This is 2 Samuel chapter 12, I'm starting verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him, and said unto him, Thou were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. Verse 2. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. Verse 3. But the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he brought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of its own meat and drank of its own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. Verse 4. And there came a traveller unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was to come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. Verse 5. And David's anger was greatly kindled against that man. And he said to Nathan, As the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. Verse 6. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Verse 7. And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Thus said the Lord God of Israel, I anoint thee king over Israel, and I deliver thee out of the hand of Saul. Verse 8. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom. And he gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that hadn't been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Verse 9. Wherefore, thou hast despised the commandment of the Lord, to do evil in his sight. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. With wisdom, Nathan approached David with a question for him to make a judgment. After David answered, he was convicted. David's sin was exposed through Nathan the prophet. David had become self-righteous, judgmental, and cruel. After confessing his sin, he cried out for iniquity to be purged through God's chastening because he had a heart after God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 31 and 32. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm reading verse 31. For if you would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 Corinthians 11, 31 and 32 says, For if we searchingly examined ourselves, detecting our shortcomings and recognizing our own condition, we should not be judged, and the penalty decreed by the divine judgment. But when we fall short and are judged by the Lord. We are disciplined and chastened, so we may not finally be condemned to eternal punishment along with the world. If you have a heart after God, you do not have time to make any comments or judgments about what others are doing or not doing. Your concentration will be on your own shortcomings and repentance from dead works. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Ephesians 4 verse 31 says, "Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, passion, rage, bad temper and resentment, anger, animosity, and quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention, and slander, evil speaking, abusive or blasphemous language, be banished from you with all malice, spite, ill will, or baseness of any kind." Paul was giving the church of Ephesus a command to keep well away from anger, bitterness, and frustration before it affected them. They did not repent. Afterwards, they began to replace truth with their own version of right and wrong. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15, I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. God uses those who listen and speak the truth that leads others to repentance and faith in God. Making any statement other than what you hear is you putting yourself above God. You'll be separated from God and listen to a wrong voice instead." James said in James chapter 1 verse 12. This is James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 12. "Blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, James 1 and verse 12 says, "Blessed, happy to be envied, is the man who's patient under trial and stands up under temptation. For when he stood the test and been approved, he received the victor's crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." By getting offended, you are in danger of losing your crown. In Christ, you are getting ready to rule with Jesus for 1,000 years under him as a servant. You are being prepared now by the trials and difficulties to see if you are ready. We read in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 3. This is Malachi chapter 3, I'm reading verse 3. "And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." The word purge in Strong's is number 2212, a primitive root to strain, figuratively, extract, clarify, fine, pour down, purge, purify, or refine. Those who knew you before you came to Christ should see godly wisdom in all your actions. They see you depart from evil and overcome temptation with good. They see you are not concerned about your own needs and do not react, but act based on what God directs. James said in James chapter 1, verses 13 to 18. This is in the book of James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 13. "Let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. But God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man." Verse 14. "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Verse 15. "Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death." Verse 16. "Do not err, my beloved brethren." Verse 17. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Verse 18. "Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." If you love truth, it's not easy to sin. To remain in the kingdom and stay in right standing with God, you will need to hear his voice consistently. Follow and not resist the Holy Spirit of truth. God always provides a way of escape. Keep working on your communication every day with the gift of eternal life. You will be exposed to a certain amount of evil Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verses 19 to 23. This is in the book of Romans chapter 6. I'm reading verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Verse 20. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things, whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Verse 22. But now being made free from sin, and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Bad fruit grows quickly when you stop asking God everything, so you can realize and repent of dead works before time runs out. We read in Isaiah 55 and verse 7. This is in the book of Isaiah 55 and verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God gave you access to truth through the Holy Spirit, so that you can fulfill your purpose now that you are born again. You were created to represent him and tell the truth. You may find that others do not want to hear the truth. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. This is in the book of Romans chapter 1. I'm reading verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. If you want to hear and get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow way, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to grow up spiritually, not be earthly minded, and come to maturity, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not accept a counterfeit version based on religious works where you do not have to deny yourself daily and trust God. If you know that you've resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've been sharing with you about being purged. Examine yourself and see if you're part of the solution or if you become part of the problem. With God on your side, you can live the life of faith without striving. Your faith has to be in God. He knows best. You just need to deny yourself and take up your cross daily to follow him. Do not listen to a wrong voice that says you do not have to acknowledge God in all your ways. I hope this message today has blessed you. Let me pray with you right now. Father in heaven, I know there's people who've been listening to this message and you have touched their hearts. And I ask that as they cry out to you now, you answer their prayer as they call on you from a pure heart. And Father, as they ask to be purged, you will use divine things and do things in their lives to help them so they grow up spiritually in these last days. I pray that in Jesus' name. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. Please get in touch. We would love to hear from you. God bless you and thank you for listening.